Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
KYW News Radio Original Podcasts.
It's just a good conversation with someone you didn't know you were interested in. I'm Matt Leon, and this is One-on-One, sponsored by your Delaware Valley Honda dealers. Get a deal you'll like on a Honda you'll love.
When I was little, I played in like this little league that was at the school a couple blocks away from my house, and people came up to my mom and was like, holy crap, she can really like dribble the basketball, like this is insane. And I was probably like 6 or 7, so my mom just says like that was like her moment where like she knew like I could go somewhere with this.
And our guest this week is Hannah Nihil, one of the greatest women's basketball players in recent Drexel University history. She is now the program's coordinator of strategic and player development. And Hannah, thanks so much for coming in studio.
Thanks for having me, Matt.
So let's start talking about what you're doing now. Coordinator of strategic and player development, what's under that umbrella? You know, what is your role with the program?
So under that umbrella, I work really closely with the players and the team, helping to develop their skills on the court. I primarily work with the guards, trying to help with their player development and, you know, obviously using my experience as a player to help get them in the best they can be. And yeah, I do a lot of like operational stuff as well, like behind the scenes stuff. I work with like development of our huddle program and donors, and do a lot of mail outs and stuff. So, and I do a lot of like film with video and making sure like that's all uploaded. So yeah, kind of dabble in like everything, which is good.
Was this something that once your playing days were over really caught your eye, or was it something that the opportunity kind of came about and you're like, oh, okay?
Well, I always thought I would want to maybe get into coaching, but it wasn't until after I worked a year in my corporate job that I was like, yeah, I definitely want to be in athletics. So it kind of took me a little while, but when the opportunity came about, I just knew I couldn't pass it up.
What was the corporate job you were doing?
I was working at Jefferson Health in fundraising, grateful patient fundraising for the neurosciences department.
So I guess that experience with fundraising, at least, that helped translate to your new role here as far as dealing with donors and
yes,
stuff like that.
Yeah, I work with the donors at Drexel, too, now. So that was good. Good experience to have.
What's it? And I say this, I'm sure there's not an average day. And as we're recording this, you guys open your season tomorrow night. Mm-hmm. But, you know, you come into the office, kind of what are things that are always going to be on your checklist of things you have to do during in season, let's say, like as in preseason to into the regular season? Like, you know, what are the things you're always going to have to deal with, take care of, work with, stuff like that?
A lot of the things is I come in the morning and I usually doing little individual workouts with a couple of the girls. I have my people like Lane McGurk, Grace O'Neill. I partner a lot with our associate head coach, Stacey Weiss, who has been at Drexel for a long, long time. And she's kind of taken me under her wing. So I kind of just do whatever, help her with anything she's working on and like help her with her players as well, like doing on-court stuff. And also personnel for scouts. I partner with her on scouting assignments, and like in the season that primarily takes up most of the time is just doing personnel for the opponents that we're going to be playing. And then practices every day 12 to 3, and I run pickup with the girls to get some extra conditioning in and stuff with them. And yeah, then I kind of wrap up my day after that.
Did you play with a lot of the players that are on the team now?
So now I only played with one of the players, which is Chloe Hodges. Yeah.
So that,
I'm getting old.
Aren't we all? But has it been difficult being so close in age to a lot of the players? Does it, going from that player role, even though you had that year with the corporate job, like player role to coach, but you're kind of the same Hannah that was a star player. Listen, is it difficult to kind of change the dynamic to go from player, like a teammate, to that coach player dynamic?
I think it's definitely challenging at first, and I definitely struggled with that last year because there was a couple more of the girls on the team that I was teammates with. But I think now that I'm a year in, it's a little easier. You kind of like get a feel for, you know, the vibe of how you're supposed to be as like a professional. Like, it's a totally different like state of mind for me now. Like, you know, I'm not a player anymore. I am a coach, and I also take in accountability, like how appreciative I am of them who like actually respect me and like take me seriously as a coach now, as opposed to like their teammate.
So now let's dig into your backstory. When you were growing up, was basketball always your favorite sport?
I played every sport possible. I was really into soccer, and I played field hockey, and I did cross country, and I did softball, but basketball was definitely always my favorite sport. I started playing when I was 9 years old, tried out for the Comets AU organization, which is really big in the area, and I just remember trying out for that, and I was like, there's no way I'm gonna make this team. But there were so many like 9 year olds that tried out, so that the program director just created like her own team for like a 9 year old age. So I started with them, and then I loved it and got into like a bunch of like Del Valle leagues and travel, and then we had CYO. So just something that I stuck with and played until my last year of college. So
when did you start to realize that you were pretty good?
I don't know when I realized I was good, but I do remember my mom, when I was little, I played in like this little league that was at the school, like a couple blocks away from my house. And I remember we had these like brown, ugly jerseys, and it was just like a one and done, like fundraising type of game. And people came up to my mom and was like, holy crap, like she can really like dribble the basketball. Like, this is insane. And I was probably like 6 or 7 at that age. So my mom just says like that was like her moment where like she knew like I could go somewhere with this.
Did you realize like that, or was it just like, well, this is just what you do?
I just was like, this is just what I do. I loved to like practice. I was always out in my backyard. Everyone said if you can dribble the basketball, you'll be able to make it far. So I would just was always dribbling around with my little cones, and I was left-handed, so everyone was like, always dribble with your right everywhere. So now it's like when I got to college, like I was more comfortable with my right because I was like ingrained in my brain at a young age, like just be able to like use both hands all the time. And yeah, I just love to like work at it.
So you went to Cardinal O'Hara.
Yes.
Had a ton of success. When you think back to your high school days, what are some of your favorite memories?
Some of my favorite memories from high school was definitely winning the PCL championship my senior year, just because like I remember from a young age going to like O'Hara's game versus Wood and seeing them win a PCL, and I still had like a piece of the net from that from my AAU coach. So it just was always like a little goal of mine, like I want to win one. So I think that was definitely my most memorable moment. And also with my coach, Linus McGinty, he was like just the greatest guy ever. And I think he had like a 800th win or like something crazy like that when he got that milestone. I remember that was like one of the best moments ever just because, you know, it was so fun. And he was like, he's a great coach. So it was a great moment. And I'll always remember that day.
When did you start to think that college basketball was going to be a possibility? I assume it's always a goal, but there's the goal and then there's the reality. Like, when did the two kind of meet? Do you remember when you started to think like, oh, I really can do this?
Yeah, I think it was after, because, you know, when you get into high school, that's like the whole goal and that's kind of like what consumes you. So I remember just thinking, we had like an AAU tournament that was like really a big one. It was like the Boo Williams one down in Virginia. And my team, we had like a lot of girls that like went and played at the Division I level. Like, we were a really good team. And we competed with, like, at the time, there wasn't like the whole like Nike, like organizations like EYBL, like that was kind of just starting. So we were competing with teams that were like really highly like sponsored and like had a lot of already committed players, and we were like winning. And I remember we won the tournament down in Boo Williams probably like my sophomore year. And it was after that that like I realized like, okay, I think this could be like a possibility for me, because I had a couple schools starting to reach out and it just became like a little reality.
Yeah, who was reaching out, and was Drexel one of the early ones?
Drexel was, I don't think they were one of the earlier ones, honestly. I had like smaller schools like Loyola and like Delaware, Brown. I kind of like hated the whole process. I was like, okay, like I'll go visit, like whatever. But I don't know, I wasn't really like that into it because I was just always like nervous and stuff. But Drexel came into the picture probably that summer, like my sophomore year summer. And I knew I wanted to stay close to home, so it was just like a no-brainer. And I got offered by Denise Dillon at the time. And then like 2 hours later, I just like called her. I was like, yep, I'll commit. I'm done with this whole thing. So yeah, it was really exciting.
What's the transition like to college basketball? Was it, wow, this is different? Or were you pretty comfortable right away when you first came in?
Well, I think every college athlete would attest to this, that when you get into like the Division I level, it's really overwhelming just with like all of the stuff that you have like on your schedule, like just with like the lifts every day and the 3 hour practices and then the pickups and then the shoot arounds and stuff. I think the workload was just like a wow, like this is a lot type of thing. But I always expected the pace to be faster, and that's what I was kind of always hoping for because I love to like get up and down. So I think really it was just the adjustment to moving my body so much more than I was used to.
What do you feel was the best part of your game coming into college, and was it still the best part of your game coming out, or did your game evolve where other parts of it kind of came to the forefront?
I think the best part of my game coming into college was, I would say, like, my defense was probably my best part, and then it still was my best part at the end of my career. I think that's something that I always just stuck true to. It's something I always knew I could control.
When you think of your playing days, what are some of your favorite memories? You guys had a lot of success, NCAA tournament. When you think back to your time, are your memories more on the court or in the locker room, practice, hanging out, bus ride, stuff like that? Like, your top memories when you think back?
I think my top memories, I have a lot of like on the court and off the court, but mainly on the court, just getting to play with like amazing players like Bailey Greenberg, Keyshawna Washington, learning like leadership skills from my teammate Aubrey Brown, getting to play with my former high school best friend Mara Hendrickson. I'm just so fortunate to have had like awesome moments of winning with great players. So I think that's really what sticks out the most. But obviously, like, the bus rides and the hangouts and everything were totally made my experience as great as it was. And I always look back to like the COVID year, the 2021 year when we won. It was like my senior year. That's something I'll never forget. We worked so hard that year with, you know, getting tested for COVID and that whole thing. It was insane. So the fact that we won and that all paid off, that was definitely, I think, the most memorable moment for sure.
Now, you, Denise Dillon, you mentioned, recruited you, mm-hmm. and then she leaves to go to Villanova. Amy Mallon, longtime assistant, takes over. Mm-hmm. What was that transition like? I would imagine just because they were so connected and Amy was so ingrained mm-hmm. that it was pretty smooth. Was it? Did it feel like that from your standpoint?
Yes, I think it was a seamless transition. And honestly, that's probably another one of my most memorable moments, too, looking back, is, you know, when Amy got the head coaching job and she called me and kind of just was going on about whatever. And I was like, I'll do whatever you need for the team to be successful. And I think she's such like a great leader and a great person and a great educator that I felt like we were in great hands, and I was so excited to get to play for her.
We need to take a break on One-on-One. We will have more with Hannah Nyhill in just a few moments. But right now, there's nothing quite like the Honda Accord Hybrid and the CR-V Hybrid when it comes to exhilarating efficiency. With hybrid technology and a thrilling capability, these vehicles deliver an electrifying performance on every drive. Discover for yourself what truly makes these hybrids special. Redefine your driving experience with Honda, KBB.com's best value brand of 2023. Contact your local Honda dealer today about the Honda Accord Hybrid and the CR-V Hybrid. And now on One-on-One with Matt Leon, let's return to our conversation with former Drexel University women's basketball star Hannah Nyhill. Now, you were on that Drexel team that went to the NCAA tournament in 2021. What was that experience like? And what was the run in the CAA tournament like when you guys got the automatic bid? Because it was really magical what you guys were able to put together.
The CAA run was, it was awesome because we were going in as like the third seed. And I was like, this is right where we want to be, because I've never gone into that tournament, not like one or two. So I'm like, okay, this is a little change up. I had this like a great feeling about it. And, you know, down at Elon, like I love, that was always like our favorite place to play. So vibes were definitely high. And when we beat Elon on their home court, we were like, okay, like keep this rolling. And then when we beat JMU in like double overtime the next day, I was like, there's no way we're losing now, because then we were playing Delaware in the championship and we just got like smoked by them like the past two times. So I'm like, you can't beat a good team three times. So I'm like, I remember saying to Amy, I'm like, yeah, like we're winning. Yeah, it was so exciting. And then Keyshawna Washington obviously carried us for that whole tournament. She totally turned it on, had like back-to-back 30-point games, which we all knew she was capable of doing. She felt the energy too. So it was so special. And it was like, it felt great to make like a little mark on like Drexel's history and have a banner in the gym and just see like all the hard work pay off. And then the NCAA tournament run was awesome. I mean, it was everything you'd expect it to be, with, you know, like all the teams showing up around. Like, it was, I remember we're in like our banquet hall right next to Arizona, who made it to the championship that year, or Stanford. We were like following them the whole time. And, you know, it was just it was really cool to see. And even when we played Georgia in that first game, it was so cool that we were like tied at halftime with them, because it felt like really a lot of people were like tuning in and kind of like put Drexel on the map a little bit, because like we could hang with a good team like that. So, I mean, although we lost in the end, but like we all gave it everything, and we just kind of prove something in a way that we can hang with top teams. So
what's that emotion like during that, I guess, what was it, about a week between when you win the CAA to when you actually played, or was it even longer?
Yeah, it was a week between.
So you go from the exhilaration of winning the conference tournament, and then you guys put a great effort together, but then it's over. How is that emotionally to experience that within such a short period of time?
I wouldn't necessarily say that like it's over after that. I mean, we definitely like really reveled in the fact that we won the CAA, because it was a long time coming at that point. And yeah, we obviously prepared for the tournament for Georgia as best we could and really focused and locked in for that. But I feel like we were so still elated for months after that we won the CAA. I don't think that like died out ever. So, especially like Amy does a great job with, you know, like we got shirts made and we had little like a little party. Like, we had, like, we still celebrate it. And she made sure that it was something that we continue to celebrate long after we won.
And then you guys had the year, I guess it was the 1920. I remember you guys were dominant. You were poised. And then the world shuts down.
Yeah, that was crazy.
And it was crazy. But how difficult was it to process? Like, because on one hand, you know, it's a global pandemic. Basketball can seem kind of, I don't want to say insignificant, but there's bigger things. But also, you work so damn hard, and it's right there, and then the rug's pulled out from under
you. We were 2 minutes until the game was going to start, and they just called it off. I remember thinking, I'm like, oh my God, like, somebody's sick? Like, what's going on? Like, I thought somebody was, like, ill or something, but it was just, they just called it for safety measures, and I just remember, and it was so weird because, you know, you work the whole entire year for that very moment. And I felt, I remember feeling so, so ready. And like, I had that same kind of feeling that I had the year after when we won. So I don't know. I just remember Bailey Greenberg was kind of like, wow, like that's, it just was really upsetting that like she, her and my friend Aubrey like had to like go out on that kind of note, and like I'll never, would never really play with them again. It was weird. It was a weird feeling, and you know, but then again, a lot of anxiety did come with that, and stress and sleepless nights, because I was a very anxious, like I had really bad performance anxiety. So like a part of me was like, okay, like a little relieved, like we're in the one seed and that's that. But I just was most disappointed that I'd never play with my friends again.
How long did it take to process that? Because things were so weird. Like, did you completely realize that it was over in real time, or did it take a few days? Like, oh, I guess we really aren't going to play.
I think we all knew right there. At least I did. I knew, like, it's over. We're not going to play the tournament.
So how much did that make that next year when you guys get to the NCAA tournament? How satisfying was it that it's like you finally got to cash that ticket that you'd been holding on to for so long?
It was awesome. And then we even had Bailey Greenberg in the stands, too. Made the trek all the way down to Elon from Philly. Crashed in Barron's hotel room, sleeping on the floor, like being there to support. It was a really, really like full circle. It was an awesome moment. It made it that much better.
Did you consider yourself a leader as a player?
I did consider myself a leader because I was the point guard. So I had to be a leader.
Do you feel like you led more through action or word?
I definitely led more through action. Led by example. I tried.
Were you comfortable if you had to speak out, or was it just not how you're kind of wired?
I was comfortable speaking out, but I definitely had to learn a lot of valuable lessons that you know, you have to respond, not react. So I learned that the hard way. But yeah, I definitely towards the end of my career, I felt confident.
What was it like when it was over playing?
It was awful. I really, really struggled, and I guess you just never, it just never crossed my mind that like it would end until it did. And I was just like, wow, like what now? It really was like a little identity crisis. I'm not going to lie. It was a tough time, but you know, you get through that. But I don't know. I think it needs to be talked about more in sports, in women's sports, college athletics today, of like, if you're not going to play after it ends, and like what's going on, gotta have a little plan. And I know most people do, but I didn't, and that's on me. So it was really hard for me.
Did you give any thought to trying overseas or anything like that? Or
not really. I like love to travel and stuff, but I'm so close with my family that I don't think I could commit to doing that for like a long period of time. I just don't think I had it in me.
Does your job now on staff, where you get to work, you get to play a little bit, like pick up stuff like that, does that scratch that competitive itch for you?
It definitely does. Yeah. And I'm so, so grateful that I get to do that every day, because I don't know where else it would go. I mean, I did run a marathon like that year out. That kept me, you know, a little competitive, and I am like a little runner now, so that keeps me going. But being able to play and work with the team every day, that definitely helps with my competitiveness and that drive. And it's definitely healthy to keep it alive. So to an extent, since I'm a professional now. But yeah, it's great. I love it.
And we talked earlier about all the different roles you do in your current position. Mm-hmm. Is there one that's your favorite right now? Like, is it the on-court skill work?
Yes, it's definitely the on-court skill work. I work really closely with our point guard, Grace O'Neill, and I think that's just like my favorite part of my job and what I get to do every day is working with her and just remembering like my experience and just trying to be relatable and, you know, help guide her. And, you know, from point guard to point guard, I think that's just like it's really special to me.
Is it hard, given that you were so good and competitive, when you're working with her, how hard is it to let her be her, but also kind of help to influence her to make her a better player? Like, is there a push-pull there? Like, you want her to play the game her way, but also you know what works and try to put it on her?
I think I know, you know, like, Grace is her own person, and we're still, like, different players and everything. So I don't think there's necessarily like any push or pull with that. I just think it's important to have a great relationship to the point where she feels like, you know, she can come to me with anything that might be going on, like either on the court or off the court. Like, I just think like that's important to have someone to, you know, just be a little relatable and kind of really understand what you're going through, whether that's good or bad.
Do you see coaching as the future? Like, this is what you're going to do, you think?
I don't know, honestly. I feel like I change my mind like the weather every day. I don't know what I want to do. But right now, I'm really, really enjoying it. I just started a master's program at Drexel, too, for education. So I'm going to get my teaching certification. And I think that could help with coaching if I do stay in it. And I think it's a great option to have to fall back on. But I know I love working at Drexel now in coaching.
And we talked about when you were playing, you know, conference record for games played, all kinds of all conference teams. You're one of two players that had 1,000 points, 500 assists, 300 steals. Do you ever think about the impact you had on the program? Like, do you ever take a step back and go, man, I did some pretty good stuff here?
Yes, of course, because I'm reminded every day when I see my face on the wall and in my office. So yeah, it crosses my mind for sure.
Is that weird to look up and see yourself, like, you know, kind of up on a pedestal to say, like?
It's a little weird. I mean, it's especially when we have, like, recruits and visitors and stuff. They're like, whoa, like, that's you. So it's a little weird, and it's uncomfortable for me, for sure. But it is what it is. I feel like, you know, trying to reframe it to be, like, I am proud of what I've done for the program.
Hannah Nihil, this was so much fun. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you, Matt. Thanks for having me.
And that will do it for this week's episode of One-on-One with Matt Leon, sponsored by your Delaware Valley Honda dealers. Get a deal you'll like on a Honda you'll love. Want to thank Hannah Nihil, former Drexel University women's basketball star and the program's current coordinator of strategic and player development, for being our guest this week and coming in studio. Now, if you like the show, if you listen on Apple Podcasts, go ahead and leave us a rating and a review. You can follow the show on X at @OneOnOnePod. You can follow me there as well at MattLeon1060. Thanks so much for listening, and be sure to check us out again next week when we bring you another conversation with someone you should know more about.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.